Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 41 for September 2nd, 2009.
Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of a website called experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And today...
it's full of humor.
We are going to err on the side of serious. Aww. Aww. Well, I mean, you know, we'll lighten it up here and there.
Sure.
But the point is that there was a study that came out last week. It actually, well, the reason why I found it was because on August 18th, it actually hit the mainstream press. I found it on MSNBC, and it was, and the headline is great. The headline, and I quote, "Study: Average gamer is 35, fat, and bummed."
That's not news.
Exactly. Click, close, click. Podcast over.
Okay.
No. Okay. So I did some digging to find the actual studies behind this headline. It came out in the American Journal of Preventative Medicine. And this study, it was a collaborative effort. There were some folks from various universities, Emory University. There was some CDC money behind this. And then there was this other school, Andrews University, that some of the people conducting the study were from. And basically, they were trying to figure out if there is any relationship between video games and quality of life and health issues for the people that they tried to study.
Right.
And, you know, it gets a bit sensationalized when it hits the press, seeing as how neither George nor I are 35, fat, or bummed. We decided that we should probably talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I consider myself a fairly, you know, well-off fit.
You'll be coming to PAX in about a week now.
Yeah, so
I think
probably
we'll be
able
to compare ourselves to the...
Yeah, and I'll probably have 60,000 other people to, like, share my non-bummedness with.
Exactly, I think so.
But anyway, like, I think it's interesting to go through this study a little bit and just kind of poke at it, because studies like this come out and you got a lot of professors writing these things that have a lot of letters after their name, and there's some government money behind it, and it's in a journal, and it starts to sound really authoritative, and without anyone to kind of, like I said, without anyone to kind of poke at it, people, it just becomes common knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially when it's popping up on something on MSNBC where people aren't going to do the type of, you know, looking at the study like you did, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah. So where should we start? Should we start with, like, the samples size
yeah, why don't
that they
we,
used?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so what they did is they took, they got 562 people from the Seattle-Tacoma area, and they conducted the study over email exclusively, and they asked them various questions about how much they play video games, what their feelings towards their health, their personal health is like, what are their history with mental illnesses or their mental health history, and then they tried to kind of statistically evaluate correlations and hint towards causations in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let's start with the geographic location, because I think that struck me first.
Yeah, because Seattle is not representative of the nation. Certainly not.
It is the exception, I would say. Because it's one of the most wired places in America.
Yeah, people are pretty techie there.
Yeah.
I think the average age in Seattle is relatively lower than the average age elsewhere. It's a major city. It's a metropolitan area. So, of course, you're not going to have, you know, the same numbers.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, and this is what kind of cropped up to me about the mood, because they only isolate for the factor of video games. It's well known that in grayer, damper, darker climates, people are more depressed.
Yeah.
It just happens. It actually does. And so the fact that they base this in Seattle, I think is an interesting thing to at least note.
Yeah, I agree.
This is not in sunny California down here, right? I mean, like, you know, we live in the foggy Bay Area, but that's nothing compared to what they deal with in Seattle.
True. Although, to be fair, the two sections they have of people who play games and people who do not...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd expect to see the same correlation if the variable that was important were weather patterns,
mm-hmm.
but...
Well, I mean, that's another one of the things. I don't see much control here. like all this is a segment of people that, you know, play the games in Seattle rather than people that also play games that don't live in Seattle.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way to control against the people that play video games but live in somewhere else.
That's true, because you could find the gamers who are depressed less depressed in maybe Florida.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I'd be more depressed if I lived in Florida. Sorry to all of our Floridian listeners. Mm. But so that's one thing that I thought. It seems kind of, I don't know, it seems a little bit minor at first, but I think it actually does play a large part geographically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that, again, there's basic statistical things we could always poke at. We could say, you know, their sample size wasn't big enough to be actually representative.
500 folks.
500 folks. Yeah. One of the things that popped out to me early on was how they split the people who play games and people who don't play games.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did two things. One was they asked people how often they played video games, and they got rid of people who said, I play video games, but then said 0 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're anomalies, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, they asked how important games are to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they ranked it from 0 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
0 says, I don't play games, therefore I shouldn't be included as a person who does play games.
As a gamer.
However, at number 1 was not at all important. Mm-hmm. And they included those people in the sample of people who play games. Which means that there's a fairly large number of people who wrote down 1, 2, maybe even 3 that games just aren't very important to them. It's just not something that arises. Maybe they play on their phone every now and then. Maybe they played Minesweeper this past week.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they thought they said board games instead of video games, and they said, I like Monopoly. Sure, why not? I play games.
You can get that on Xbox Live Arcade.
Exactly. So I the fact that they're saying, and this is something you see in a lot of other studies when we're talking about the number of people in the United States who play games. You know, MSNBC says the study is the average gamer is 35, fat, and bummed.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think people who find video games not at all important to their lives to be considered gamers. They don't consider themselves gamers. Why should we?
Yeah, and why should they be lumped in with the people who rated themselves a 10 on how important video games are? That's like saying, like, I don't see a lot of movies, but I do see some movies. I would say I'm probably, you know, less than 5 on that 1 through 10 scale of being interested in movies. But according to this methodology, I'd be lumped in with Roger Ebert.
Yeah. It's super, yeah. You would even be included with the people who might, like, what if we dragged you to a screening of a movie? And we're like, ha, Scott, like, we got you. Of course you watch movies because we force you to.
Yeah.
But they're not important to your life whatsoever.
Exactly.
In fact, you might dislike movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you watch them is because, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and that in that manner, it would be important to my life because it would be a social thing.
Right, and it's strange to me that this pops up a lot when we talk about people who play games in the United States being such a big number.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these are including the more casual players.
Yeah.
The same thing can be said when we say, you know, women. I think this was maybe 6 months ago. There was a study released that said women play more games than men.
Mm-hmm.
But this included Facebook games, although, you know, to its credit, there are some excellent Facebook games. But it included Minesweeper, it included Solitaire. They're not really of the same ilk.
It's not. I mean, the thing that you have to make the distinction that rarely gets made is that do they own a machine that is primarily for gaming?
Yeah.
Like, some people's PCs, like, sure, they use their PC all the time, but they have a PC that is that they bought with the explicit intent to game on.
Right.
Just like I bought my PlayStation or my Wii or my TV for that matter with the number one idea behind that purchase was gaming. You know, if someone plays a million years of Minesweeper in a row, then they probably didn't buy a computer just to get Minesweeper. It's probably a coincidence or an overlapping of what that is.
Right, and this isn't to say that I don't consider people who play more casual games part of a larger gaming community.
Yeah.
Because I think there are things that we share.
Yeah.
But when we're trying to make a specific study to tell whether or not, you know, depression is higher amongst people who consider themselves gamers, I don't think we should include the growing numbers of people who solely play games on their iPhone on their commute to work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For other things, include them.
Yeah.
But not, maybe not for this.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was a bit annoying about this, and it's not just this study, it's hard to gauge how people feel at any given time because there's no way of quantifying it very well. You can rank it on a scale of 1 to 10, but there's no mathematical formula for figuring out your exact mood. And so what they did in this survey was to have them self-assess themselves. So if you think you feel depressed, you would say that. If you don't, then you wouldn't say that. That doesn't necessarily mean you're not depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, self-assessment has problems here. And so depending on how they interpret what people say to them, it skews it a specific way.
Yeah, so for example, it was an email study. So maybe people who are more comfortable with the internet, therefore more likely to play games. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this is a hypothetical.
Yeah.
But they could be also more likely to be honest with a complete stranger on the internet to say, yeah, maybe lately I've been feeling a little depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that the person who responded over email but doesn't really feel comfortable talking to strangers online is willing to tell someone that they don't know that they are in fact depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, this is something that they could control for. Mm-hmm. They could...
Results?
Yeah, they could include it in the results, but they don't. And, and I'm not saying that it's a major factor or even that it's specifically something that is important in this study, but this is just one example of a lot of other variables that can arise.
Mm. The other thing about this being an email study, and they were saying that, well, you know, people that reported a lot of video game usage also reported, you know, a high level of internet usage, and also their social networks tended to be more skewed towards online things. And that all makes sense, and I don't doubt that many video game players probably do have a lot of social networking stuff online, maybe more so than they have in real life, just because that's how, you know, that's the nature of the beast to a certain extent. If you play WoW, by definition, you're going to have a huge social network online. But the point is that because they did this survey only through email, they're not talking to anyone else that wouldn't use email but also plays games.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like they're starting out with a group of people that are already inclined to answer questions from strangers online.
Right.
Which to me speaks to these people's comfort level with online culture in general. If you're going to fill out a survey just via email, not even talking to someone in person nor writing anything down, it doesn't surprise me that those same people, whether or not they play games, also spend lots of their time in online social communities.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know? And then if they do happen to play games, well, you know, it's not like that it's even a bad thing. It's strange to me that they even incorporated it.
It's weird because by saying that, we talked to a bunch of people that played games and spent a lot of time online. Well, the way that the study was carried out, those are the only people they could possibly have talked to. Since they only did it online, they needed people that existed primarily online.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no other option for them to fill out this survey. So if they happened to be very heavy gamers, which they wanted to find in this survey, they would also be people that would be very comfortable with online discussion.
Yeah.
It's this very select population that is tailored perfectly to what the study was constructing itself to be. There was no amount of crossover with folks that don't exist as this one specific gaming and online community.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a man on the street interview. This is like an email interview. And like, if they had sent this email to my parents or something, they never would have got an answer out of them because they don't do this kind of stuff online.
Although you would consider your parents, well, certainly they'd be more than games are not important whatsoever. They'd be higher along the row towards the gamer spectrum.
My parents own a Wii.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like it's weird. Like,
are they 35 and fat and depressed?
No, I mean they're actually 25, fat and depressed. Okay, so that's one thing. That was the email thing that I thought was very odd about this. The other thing, and this is where I always think that video games kind of become a red herring in lots of studies. Could you have asked these people about other factors and then drawn the same conclusions?
Right, and this is the strange hobby thing, right?
Yeah.
I feel like no matter what, if you pick a hobby that people are passionate about, they are more likely to fit some of these results, mm-hmm. right? They didn't ask maybe film buffs or people mm-hmm. who are into genre fiction and say, well, are you more depressed? I wouldn't be surprised if you got people who are more passionate about something, perhaps more likely to respond in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the factors that they incorporated into the study was health and mm-hmm. fitness. If your main hobby is kayaking or, mm-hmm. or climbing rock walls, you're way more likely to be physically healthy, not necessarily mentally healthy, but physically healthy than someone whose hobby is building model airplanes.
Yeah.
Right? The other strange factor is this this thing that they incorporated into the study they called social support via the internet, so that they said that gamers were more likely to find social support online. And I think that when you have a hobby that lends itself well to online communication, of course you're going to be more social online, because that's how you share your hobby. It's not as easy for the people of Cat Fancy or people who, you know,
Boats and bottles.
Boats and bottles. Or people who deck out, you know, their rides with some sweet hydraulics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They go to car shows for their social events.
Yeah.
For people who play online competitive Counter-Strike, people who are playing across the world, online communication, in terms of sharing their hobby, is the norm. So there's, it's not, doesn't correlate to me, in my mind, with a negative, because you're still making a connection the way that is easiest for that hobby.
And that being said, it's not like, it's not like I disbelieve everything that's in this report. I just think that to say that, you know, oh, video games are closely linked to this, that that may be true, but it's not because that they are video games. It's because that people that are sad or that don't have a lot of friends tend to spend a lot of time doing things that either make them feel better or that let them escape. You know, I know plenty of people that are just lose themselves in books, and you could say the same exact thing about them, being depressed, being overweight, being not active. It's not the thing that causes it. It's just a manifestation of how they're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you could really replace video games with anything here.
Yeah.
And if you don't luge, you might need another buddy to luge with.
But. Skeleton Run, sorry.
So, yeah, okay, that's fine. Like, even if you're going to say something like Skeleton Run, if that's what you do because you don't have friends, family, you don't have a good body image, and that's the way that you get away from it, then it fits the results of this study.
You also need to pick up another hobby, because Skeleton Run is just crazy.
Especially if you live in Arizona or something. No wonder you're depressed.
Hey, Jamaican has a bobsled team.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So the fact that, you know, they don't do these kind of long-term studies over other hobbies is actually kind of the depressing part of it, right? Because there are plenty of fat, depressed gamers that I know.
Yeah.
And I've played with. You know, maybe 10 years from now, I might myself be a fat, depressed gamer, for all I know.
Yeah.
It's just, when you don't have, especially a long-term study, because this is just a snapshot. There's a lot to say for people who were raised in a certain way, right? So, again, video games are relatively young. If back in the day you were living in a family that was a depressing household, maybe you had abusive parents or something, and the way that they got rid of you is by giving you video games, well, then you're learning certain lessons as you grow up, and you just bring that hobby with you.
Yeah.
So it may be that people who play games now, a hobby that has lived for a long time, may have other issues in terms of how they were raised and their body image. And I think that's actually one of the things that is not accounted for in most studies that I see about video games. And it's that sense of part of the reason that people who play video games are more likely to be fat, for example, if we were to assume that was the case.
Yeah.
It may be that they were instilled with certain values, and athleticism was not one of them. And it just correlates with how they were raised, not with their hobby in particular.
And the point is that in the absence of video games, they would find something else to do, non-active, that would fit the same type of needs that they use video games for.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's an interesting article you also scrounged up called Video Games Play or Play-Like Activity.
Yeah, it was it was from the same journal, and it was kind of piggybacking on that first article that we talked about. And it's basically exploring how we think of video games as play itself. Like, what does play actually mean? And the person writing this has a pretty standard traditional definition of play, which is linked to physicality, like freeze tag and you know, duck, duck, goose, and like things like that. But, you know, he's not coming out against video games completely. He's saying we need to figure out what are the good aspects that we can take from them and what are their failings, so we can augment them with other forms of play that will help kids as they grow up.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think both you and I agree that diversity in what you do and to some extent your hobbies, although I spend so much of my time with video games, there's a diversity that's healthy there in terms of physical activity, in terms of mental activity. And I like that he mentions the Wii and these active games
yeah.
that are kind of, you know, in some ways, they're a form of exercise. Mm. Although I think most people will admit, although, you know, Wii kayaking is will get you into a sweat, it's nothing like actual kayaking.
Yeah.
But like I said, over the long-term studies, I think that there's a real benefit to these types of games, if for no other reason than they normalize physical activity as a day-to-day thing.
Exactly. And it's the link between something that... It's the link between a life where you don't do anything and a life where you're just doing Mountain Dew commercials all day.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. 15 years from now, when we do the study again, if it's a long-term study, mm-hmm. we may see different results.
Yeah.
Simply because video games have happened to coexist mm-hmm. with healthy values being instilled in people at a young age
mm-hmm.
or even into adulthood.
Yeah, and also not just physical healthy values, but he discusses briefly serious games in which he mentions things like Carmen Sandiego and like what they can teach kids, which is, I think, on the right track. I just don't think he has done a lot of reading about people that talk about quote unquote non-serious games and what they can teach you. Like James G, he's a professor and he writes a lot about games. He's done a lot of research with like childhood development and learning. And you know, he writes about what games like Thief and Riddick actually teach you.
And how to kill someone in the darkness.
how to control Vin Diesel.
Exactly. You can't control Vin Diesel, Scott.
You just can't. And you know, you do learn things from games that aren't specifically pedagogical. So, I mean, just because you're not playing Carmen Sandiego doesn't mean you're not learning about mathematics, resource management, cause and effect relationships.
Right. And besides how Eurocentric Carmen Sandiego is, I mean, it's like a textbook,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
There are different ways that people learn.
Mm-hmm.
Something like, you know, Tales of Monkey Island,
mm.
resource management.
Mm. Or any game that we play these days tends to have a pretty expansive world.
Exactly.
And just being able to read a map is something that we have kind of internalized from playing video yeah. games.
Or feel comfortable in a new environment. I think there's something for cultural education.
Yeah, you know? You just get dropped into a weird situation and you're able to say like, okay, I know how to handle this. I know how to read this map. I know that there are certain rules that I'll need to learn in order to function in this situation. It's skills that are also transferable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just because we don't necessarily make like specifically like classroom style educational games doesn't mean that games can't educate us and that they can't be used in conjunction with more traditional forms of play that still stress physical exercise, which is obviously very important.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there anything else you want to hit on before we wrap up?
I'm kind of curious, like, it seems strange to me that these studies, and maybe it's just because they catch our eye because we're such video game enthusiasts,
mm-hmm.
but I'm surprised we don't see some of these similar studies in other hobbies. Like, are there people who are curious about the effects of, you know, reading indoors on mm-hmm. the mating habits of, you know, 18 to 35-year-olds or something? Like, I wonder if there's a way that we could better approach video games. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is that it feels like a lot of these studies are on a higher level mm-hmm. than what most people participate in. Like, it's hard to be active in how the world views video games if the way that we view video games is through studies.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how are you and I supposed to encourage long-term, you know, to a certain extent, I want studies like this to be done. I mm-hmm. want more funding so that it can encapsulate larger numbers over a span of time, you know, but I wonder, is there any type of study that you'd like to see, or is there maybe a study you've seen in another hobby that is pertinent to this discussion?
What I would much rather see is a study that doesn't necessarily pick one specific activity like video games or whatever, because it feels like this is very much kind of treating the symptom rather than the underlying cause.
Right.
Like, we should be figuring
studying depression
out. Exactly.
And if it happens to correlate with video games, go, oh, hey.
Yeah, and then we can target folks, because it's not that the video games are making them this way, it's that they tend to gravitate towards these things when they're depressed. So I'd rather study what makes people depressed in the first place, and not simply that they're playing video games when depressed, but how we can use video games as a medium to reach out to people that might need help.
Yeah, and that's partly why the study happens, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at video games because you can say, well, if a lot of people who play video games are depressed, then maybe we need to make some more happy games or something.
Or, I mean, you need to know, like, maybe the role of the community manager might grow in something like that. You know, like, if they notice you know,
into psychiatrist.
Well, I mean, it's not like, you know, I liken it to kind of, you know, like in college when you have an, we were too depressed. When they have RAs in the dorms, the RAs aren't doctors or psychologists or anything, but if they notice people acting in a certain way, they're able to kind of point them in the right direction or give them advice on how to start. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if we knew that people were depressed and popping up in video games as a community, then we would know how to reorient folks to help them, yeah, rather than just kind of looking at study after study that says, that reaffirms the kind of comic book guy Simpsons character stereotype, yeah, of what gamers are.
Yeah, that's it. I like that idea. Yeah. It's such a big responsibility, though.
It is. But it's something that I think is ultimately more fruitful than just... Because a politician will read this and say, oh, we got to ban games then. Yeah. It's games that are doing this. Yeah. We got to ban them. GTA is murder, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's not... For me, this is not... I can just imagine someone that doesn't play games, doesn't know about the community a lot, and doesn't think as critically about studies, saying, oh, depressed people in games? I know how to fix that. We get rid of this. You know, like, it's a backwards causal thing.
And a blanket statement. Because, yeah, I mean, there are some games that may not have that same effect. Yeah. You know, maybe people are playing games that make them depressed, sure, but maybe they're specifically types... a certain, mm-hmm, type of game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny that the Wii Fit will remind you, hey, go outside. And you
know. Exactly, exactly. Okay, so I mean, I think that pretty much wraps this up. If you have any comments on the article, and of course we'll post it online too, because it gets pretty technical in certain parts. I mean, there's even some of the statistical work that, you know, they do about correlation that I'd be interested to see someone who knows about that kind of stuff really evaluate it on a mathematical level.
Yeah, because that is not my forte.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's interesting to find those types of fallacies.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll put those online. If you have any comments on them, feel free to email us at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
Also, if you want to get some social support, you can do so by leaving your comments on this podcast as well as any of the writings we do. We update the website Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings, and you're encouraged to visit. Also, today is Wednesday. This Friday, mm-hmm, after listening to this, is PAX.
Oh, yeah.
Scott and I will be there. Yeah. I will be in Seattle. If, yeah, you happen to find us, if you want to, you know, chit-chat about some of the stuff that we do or just about video games in general, and you happen to find us by the grace of God or something.
We'll be tweet-casting.
We'll be tweet-casting.
tweet-casting and pod-blasting.
So hopefully we'll actually try to record, no promises, but we'll try to record a podcast while we're there to talk on about some of the issues and some of the cool panels we'll see. I am very excited.
Yeah, me too. This is a new thing. I've actually never been to PAX before, so this is going to be my first time.
This is my fourth time. I'm stoked.
I mean, like, you know, this is... I'm just giddy with excitement over here. But it's also the first time that both of us are going to PAX, having been writing and doing stuff in video games.
You're right.
You know,
I think we need to cheers level. Our Kvassia, yeah, glasses.
All right. Until next time. See you in Seattle.
Bye-bye.